Hello, hello, hello everyone, it's your girl Tinky Bell here, and I am proud to announce that it is another Manga Monday. Yes, I'm actually doing this in order. I'm finally doing another upload of this. Yay! I feel so confident. I do kind of want to just give out a big, massive heads up that, school is coming up for me. My little sister starts school tomorrow, so I'm possibly gonna have to figure out how to incorporate that now, as well as I have 14 days until I go back into school. I'm gonna start on September 21st, and if I'm really going to be completely honest, instead of focusing on two classes, I'm going to be focusing on three. So I'm going to be pretty busy with a lot of schoolwork, and I need to learn how to keep you guys updated and posted with school and everything, with school as well as doing this. So I'm really willing to try to take on that challenge instead of like backing away from it like I usually do. So hopefully I'll be able to get more on time, you know, with the posting and everything. But last time we talked about Nambaka, we left off on chapter 9, where we were going to introduce to a new character. For those of you guys who probably don't know what Manga Monday is, even though I keep talking about it, I'm just going to keep reiterating this as much as possible, or probably later. But Manga Monday is basically where I go ahead and I talk about a very specific manga, and I just keep talking about the chapter by chapter. I decided to take it really easy and talk about the chapter of Nambaka. Again, Nambaka is basically about these four best friends who are basically inmates in the same jailhouse, in the same cell, and they kind of go through really just wacky shenanigans throughout their day. And pretty much we just get to see their adventure. And like I stated, the last time we actually talked, so that's basically Nambaka. The last time we left, where we left off last time, we were on chapter 9 and we were about to get introduced to a brand new character. This time we're gonna get introduced to another character. Before I actually continue this, I probably should have done this before. I stopped at chapter 9, so that means I have to stop at 17. Chapter 17 is probably where we're going to stop at. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to try to stop 9 chapters each, so that way we can kind of get through this, because even though I've read this before, there's actually 192 chapters of this, and there are times where I've read so much I read this series so many times. It's ridiculous. But let's go ahead and get into it. So this is chapter 10. We have The Warden Appears. This is where we're going to get a little bit more information on a selective new character. So more specifically the guards, I think we're going to get introduced to, as well as more information on our little four friends, Jugo, Uno, Rock, and Nico. So of course we have a knock. We have some anonymous person saying enter. We see Hajime saying, pardon me, you wanted to see me, warden? You get to see all these prison guards that are kind of like bodyguards. And it says supervising officer of building 13, Hajime Sugoroku. I'm pretty sure, I hope I'm saying this right. I really need to go back to the anime and hear how they say it. I would like a direct report from you. And this is where we get introduced to the warden of Namba Prison, Momoko Hayakushiki. That is her name. The warden is a chick. I believe everything is in my report, states Hajime. Did you not have a chance to read it yet? And this is where we get introduced to our fourth guard, but the fourth prisoner of another cell. Well, not another cell, but I want to say in another yard. Of course, this is Namba Prison Building 5 Supervising Officer Samen Goku. Hajime is Building 13's Supervising Officer, while this cute, adorable monkey boy is Building 13's Supervisor. He says, who the hell do you think you're talking to? The warden said to report. You do what she says. Of course, obviously, this really pisses off Hajime, and he basically is like, who are you calling a bald gorilla? Say that again, I'll break you. Because that's basically what Hajime's nickname is. Okay, little fun fact, supervising officers of Namba Prison are like associated to like an animal. So Hajime is associated to a bald gorilla. I think it's more because of just his strength. Salmon is basically a monkey. We have a pheasant, we have a dog, we have a cat. Like these supervising officers are animal based, and it's amazing. Of course, the warden, but back to the series. The warden kind of breaks off the two and like clears her throat, asking like, I really need some reports here about the particular foursome that is obviously in building 13, cell 13. I would love to know some information. Has there been any problems or escape attempts that's been going on? And Hajime is just saying like, yeah, there's absolutely nothing to report, really. And pretty much, you know, this entire chapter is just basically like the warden is just trying to figure like, why aren't they plotting to jailbreak like every other prison unless they cleaned up their act? You know, this is just really weird how they like, the warden is very just suspicious of their behavior, like they're planning something. And of course Hajime is just saying like, no, there really isn't nothing to really report. And Salmon is like, oh, you're obviously lying. And Hajime's getting irritated, like, you think I'm lying? Like, really? And that's when the warden is just like, okay, well, if there's nothing to report, then, you know, you can go on with your day. And this is where Hajime is just saying, like, but if you ask me, they're just a bunch of little, like, a-holes. Like, they're not even criminals. They're just, like, a bunch of children. Pretty much. And Hajime is like, I will bring you their documents shortly, but please take a good look through them. Warden Hayu. Oh, I said her name before. Hayakushiki. And of course, this kind of pisses off Salmon, because Salmon and Hajime have this little rivalry with each other, but the warden has a crush on Hajime completely. And it's kind of like the last chapter is really just like the warden like blushing, like Hajime said her last name, like Hajime said the last name and everything else. Like, she is just all blushy. So now we're getting into chapter 11. I really need this to load. So we get a little bit more information on the warden, Namba prison warden Momoko Hayakushiki. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that name wrong, aka the warden. Favorite food is soy sauce, glazed dango, and nationality is Japanese. So now we're in the reason for incarceration revealed part one. This is where we're really going to see more documents of basically of our four idiots. And it kind of just starts off with like Salmon like just hitting Hajime and Hajime getting Salmon back. Like, oh boy. So Here we go. Let's see. So first they get over to inmate number 25, male, nationality, American. Inmate number 25 is Nico. He is an adorably short African-American male with bright green hair, and it's adorable. He was arrested and charged with buying drugs in the slums. I don't want to hear any racism on that. However, he had no idea he was dealing with drugs. He was simply used as a courier, I believe that's how you pronounce it, which resulted in a lighter sentence. But just in case, they did examine him for any symptoms of drug abuse. He seemed clean, but the doctors found multiple allergies and unknown illnesses. He was sent to a medical reform school to receive intensive care. That's when number 25, that's right. So then this is the warden speaking, and she's saying, that's right, number 25 seems to have several unidentified diseases, though they don't seem to cause him physical harm. I heard our own medical staff mention that as well. But then why did he escape the reformatory? Well, it seemed he escaped. This is Hajime. It seems he escaped because he hated needles and medicine. Which kind of just makes the warden and Salmon go like, what? Like, and they do this anime fall. And Hajime continues saying he refused every treatment, and although he was sent to various prisons, he smashed through the walls and escaped as the day of the treatment drew near. He's currently sentenced for aggravated escape due to the extent of the damage. This is Salmon saying, like, how does he have that kind of strength? Hajime goes on saying, it is a fact that Namba Prison has cutting-edge medical treatment and well-equipped facilities, so you were able to treat him using oral medicine rather than injections. They even prepared his medication to the flavor of his liking. Now he can hardly wait to take his meds. Which, this is Sam and Kenrick were saying, which kind of mean he is a druggie. Of course, the warden is like, I see. That's why Nico in inmate number 25 is no longer planning to escape. So now we're getting into Rock. Next is inmate number 69. Again, this is Rock. Male, nationality, American. He was sent to juvenile hall for starting a gang riot in the city. And then, of course, this is the warden and Salmon saying, like, but just like number 25, he escaped prison for one reason. Which was, according to him, their food sucks. So Hajime goes on continuing. He swears the food at the juvenile hall was so gross he broke down the walls and escaped. So they're here for aggravated escape because of the damage. He was sent to prison afterward but escaped again because their food was awful. Again, breaking down the walls. He is now well behaved because he's very pleased with the meals here. He's into Japanese food. I just love some of the like reasonings why these characters do the things that they do. It's just really, really funny. This is where Salmon is like, you mean to tell me those two have been escaping for such dumb reasons? It isn't all about skill or security. They're just selfish brats. And Hajime just responds, I told you they're just a bunch of little kids. And then, of course, Hajime's like, let's move on. And both, like, the warden and Sam are like, I have a bad feeling. So now we're getting into chapter 11. Well, not chapter 11. We're leaving chapter 11 and going into chapter 12. So chapter 12 says, the reason for incarceration revealed part 2. And this is kind of like where Hitoshi Sogoroku, which is Hajime's younger brother, he's like kind of upset that he can't see his brother, which kind of leaves like to Jugo, like he escaped prison. He's like, oh, so it's you, Hito. Like, Hito, what's up? And Hitoshi's like, wait, I want to actually talk to Jugo. Even though like Sitaru is kind of like trying to get Jugo to go back to his cell, Hitoshi's like, wait, no. I actually want to talk to number like 15. I want to talk to Jugo. Because I'm pretty curious about him. It's still a visit. And Sitaru's like, I guess it's still a visit, but like, you need to fill out the visitation form afterwards. So this is where the conversation is really interesting. Hitoshi's asking him, like, how do you escape from your room all the time? Is there a trick of some sort? And Jugo just responds, nah, I can just get out whenever I want. Hitoshi's actually pretty, like, interested and is like, wow, like it sounds like a magic. And Jugo's responding like, yeah, it's not anything as fairy tale as that, you know. Like, Jugo's just a little bit, you know, more cocky with it. Going back to Hajime, the warden, and Salmon, inmate number 25, which is Uno, nationality English, is a male. He was arrested for frequently underground casinos. He was sent to the juvenile hall as well. He still hasn't recovered from his compulsive gambling, so I'm constantly giving him warnings when I find him betting with fellow inmates. Most of his bets are inconsequential, like who gets to read the magazine first, so I'm not too strict. So, of course, like, Salmon asks, like, what did he escape because he wanted to gamble? Of course, No. The reason why inmate number 11, aka Uno, wanted to escape was because he had a date. He would always escape on date nights, and no matter what, which prison he was, no matter which prison he was in. So now we're getting into inmate number 15, Jugo. Nationality, Japanese, male. He was arrested on larceny charges, I think that's how you pronounce it, and sent to juvenile hall, but he escaped the same day. He uses various escape techniques and has been in and out of the prison the most. He's exactly the type of criminal who should be imprisoned here. Now this is where things get interesting. The warden responds, "No, number 15. I know about him. Or rather, all the guards know about him. He is his father's son after all. People talk about him to this day, the biggest embarrassment of Namba Prison, known as the Eternal Fugitive. No state-of-the-art security at any prison can stop him from escaping." This is Salmon. "Though the fact that a convict we could never catch had a son at all surprises." Hajime, "You already knew though." Warden, "Yes, I knew immediately." "Those eyes, who could forget? And they considered this the best prison, responsible for the biggest of failures, and yet they insist we have a perfect record? Our superiors are keeping it under wraps, but it's the cold, hard truth. But I won't let that stand. Namba Prison's failure is my failure. My weakness is to blame. I will correct our mistake. When he shows his face here again, I swear as a warden that we will have a true perfect record." That's when we kind of start learning that the reason why number 15 really just escapes, like his motive, is because it's only a hobby. And really, they don't think he has a desire to really run away. But Hajime is a little bit skeptical. You know, he's thinking like a hobby. "To be honest, I'm suspicious of his behavior. Hobby to entertain oneself for killing time. I only told them that because he said so himself. I haven't looked into it. Out of all of them, I probably trust him the least. For that reason, I'll never let my guard down." So now back to Hitoshi and Jugo. Hitoshi asks, "I've been wondering, you can remove any sort of handcuffs, right?" Jugo responds, "Yep." That's when Hitoshi asks, "Then how come you don't remove the ones on your neck and your wrist? Aren't they in the way?" Side note, Jugo has these weird shackles with no chains on his wrist as well as his neck. And I believe they're also on his ankles. And that's when Jugo responds, "I can never remove them, even if I want to." He says, "These black shackles were placed on me at one of my old prisons while I was asleep. But no one at that place knew anything about the cuffs. Just a shackle with no chains, but no chain links. Some stranger from out of nowhere put them on me. I tried everything, but to no avail. And no matter how many prison guards or researchers attempt to remove them, it's impossible. No one has a clue. Who in the world put them on me?" "For a moment, I saw him through the blurry haze. I saw the guard with the three scars on his neck. It could have been a dream, but these shackles are real. But that guard was nowhere to be found. The USA, France, Germany, England, China, not in any of the prisons throughout the world. I've searched tirelessly in every prison I've been sent to. I've looked and looked and kept on looking. These damn black shackles, which seem to constrain my very freedom, only he can remove them. I've come this far. Neither of us has anywhere left to run. I will find him. In this Namba prison, the end of the line." And that's the end of Nambaka Volume 1. There is an actual subplot to Nambaka besides its hilarious comedy and just adventurous. The subplot, which we basically pretty much learned in the end of the volume, Jugo's real motivation is that he has these shackles on his wrist and his ankles and his neck, and he really wants to know, why did this random person, this random guard who has three scars on his neck, put them on me? He wants to know why, and that's his real motivation for escaping every single prison, because he wants to escape and he wants to basically be free of these shackles. That's his real true motivation. Of course, also during that monologue, really, Hitoshi is just like wondering, questioning, like, is he okay? And that's when Jugo's just responding like, oh, it's nothing. And that's basically that's kind of the end of volume one. We also get another little character note, inmate number 25, Nico, anime junkie, favorite color, yellow and lime green, trademark, bandages on his right side and a ball and a chain. His eyes is carmine, I believe that's how you say it. But yeah, that was chapter 12, honestly. That was the end of volume one. So now we're in 12.5. And here's the thing about like 12.5. 12.5 is nothing but like just a special, basically it's a special chapter where it kind of talks about how Jugo and Uno kind of meet, and really it's just kind of adorable. It's just them going on random adventures and becoming really good friends. You also have underneath, you have them doing their nails and their toenails automatically. Like, you just like, oh man, it's just so, it's like, Nambaka is just a really good series. I really advise people to really just check this series out. So now we're on volume 2. Oh boy. So volume 2, technically chapter 13. Do 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 do. Of course, it starts off with Jugo just like walking in randomly saying like, I'm back, and it just has like Uno punching him straight in the face saying, Christmas is over, you idiot. And of course, it's Jugo like, ah, what is this all about? And this is where Jugo kind of explains like, you know, in my country, real festivities begin after Christmas, because Jugo was just all nonchalant like, oh, it's Christmas, like, who cares? And once Jugo just responds like, yeah, like, we celebrate everything after Christmas, like, that's when the real Japanese festivities comes in. Everyone's like, that means Japanese event. We are very, very curious. And of course, automatically, we do have Tsukumo, the ninja the person that claims he's a ninja. He somehow sneaked into their room, and he's just also super duper excited about, he's also like really, really excited pretty much about the whole entire New Year festivities. And then of course we get our very good loudmouth. Snap, there are so many like people in here. It's just really, really crazy. So Yamato kind of just jumps in and is like, hey, we need everyone to create decorations for New Year's. So he's just like throwing stuff. And Satari's like, who broke the door? And he's like, also, we're going to clean everyone's rooms for the end of the year. So I brought cleaning supplies. Like, Rock and Uno are just so confused. And Jugo and Nico were like, I'm just gonna show you like what we actually do, like, I don't really care. And then here comes Hajime just like, what's going on here, just checking on y'all being random. All right, well, it's a normal day in the cell. And so at the end we get a little character note. Building 13 supervising officer Hajime Sugoroku, the strongest man in Namba prison. His favorite color is crimson. His trademark always feels pain in his stomach, and his eyes are dark red. Like, now I'm, I cannot stop laughing with this series. So now we're on to chapter 14. And, oh, wait, okay, I see. The title is now on the side. I keep forgetting that it is. So it's like chapter 14, sensing a huge storm coming so early in the new year. So, of course, we have, like, happy, so we have, like, the big speak, like, the, I don't know what you call it, but it's, like, a speaker. Happy New Year, everyone. This will be the very first announcement of the year. Let's make this year a good year where everyone is in good spirits and good health. Inmates, please reflect on your crimes and dedicate your time to work and education. Correctional officers, please fulfill your duties and preserve Namba's honor. Since it's the new year, shall we look back to the history of how this Namba prison came to be? So then, of course, the reason this is called the best prison is because... And Jugo was just, like, yelling, like, shut up! And, of course, the speaker is continuing on. Namba prison conducts a morning assembly that includes inmates on New Year's. So Hajime just walks in and he's like, hey, wake up, brats, basically, like, being a Levi. It's time for morning assembly. Get up. Of course, everyone's just like, nah, it's too cold. We can't. Wait, actually, take that back. Jugo, Rock, and Una are like, it's too cold. We don't want to get up. And Nuku was just still sleeping. I'm like, I am tired. Of course, Hajime responds like, do you want to get beaten on the first day of the new year? And of course, he kind of like forces like everybody to get up. Nico was like yawning like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? What's going on? What's up? So then here comes like the warden. She gives like this New Year's greeting. She wishes all a new year. Everybody is like, the cell 13 is just shooketh that the warden's a woman. And of course, everyone's kind of like making a big fuss about it. And then we learn that Namba Prison has a traditional event on New Year's. And then we get introduced to our another character, Building Force Supervising Officer Kenichiro Yozakura. Jeez, I always get his last name wrong. For some reason, I can always remember Kenichiro though. So here's the thing. Side note, I actually have an OC for Namba from Nambaka, and my OC is the sister of this character. Little side note, may actually introduce this to you guys. So, pretty much, this is basically the rules of the tournament. Let's see here. First, let me announce the participants for this year's tournament from each building. That's Kenichiro speaking. Of course, Jugo asks, like, participants, like, what is this all about? Like, yo, Hajime, speak. And this is where Hajime is like, this tournament is the biggest event of the year. This is the only day the inmates and officers cooperate. In other words, this is Namba's New Year's United as One tournament. So Taro's kind of like explains it like, you know, that's because a prize is given to the entire building that wins the tournament and including the guards working here. Everyone's like, oh, a prize? And that's when Yadamo's like, in our case, we get a bonus this month. That's the like building officers. In the cell, in their case, everyone in their cell can have anything they want, one item per person, which honestly sounds like a pretty dope thing if you ask me. And that's like, everyone's like, yo, Hajime, let us participate in this. And Hajime's like, wait, what? Why all of a sudden? And then Hajime's just regretting, like, I shouldn't have told them. Like, I definitely shouldn't have told them. Only to realize that they get picked anyway. Oh, man. They get picked anyway. Even when Hajime's like, no, you guys aren't going to get picked. And of course, they get picked anyway. So now we're in chapter 15. Turbulence, the New Year's Tournament Part 1. So of course, this is like, we get Namba Prison Building 5 Supervising Officer Sengoku Representatives Cell Number 8. this is kind of just like Sam and kind of like Hajime really just going off on one of like going off on one another, really just having like a roast off. And then we get like our another, I want to say this is the other main supervising officer, Namba Prison Building 3 supervising officer, Kiji Mitsuba, representatives cell number 6. And he kind of just comes into the play and just starts saying, like, he's just like roasting the both of them, like, well, I'll win because I'm more beautiful. He's the pheasant. He's the bird. And then we got our little, like, Kenshiro's back. He's the doggy. He's the dog one. He's the loyal doggy. And he's like, but all three of you are just disgraceful. I'll truly win. And this is kind of just like a big, who has the bigger balls, really. Their relationship is just like, who has the biggest man complex? Or like, who has the biggest abs or the biggest balls in the group? It's hilarious. But you kind of learn that Kenshiro's biggest enemy is Hajime, because you also kind of, I'm not gonna lie, this is probably gonna be a spoiler, Kenshiro has a massive, the dog guard has a massive crush on the warden, but the warden has a crush on Hajime. That's the irony of it all. And then we also get my other favorite character, Namba Prison's broadcaster, Mitsuru Hitoke. He's basically the guard that doesn't take things seriously. He's just all over the place, and it's perfect. Because he's just like, hey guys, what's going on? Like, he's just the random guard that's like really close to the warden, but also like the other guards just find him like pretty irritating. And it's pretty amazing. So then the first, we get our first event, which is Kazizome, I think that's how you say it, which is basically a Japanese calligraphy, I believe it's called. And everyone's like looking at Jugo. Everyone actually tries it because they're like, oh, let's try it, but we're actually not from Japan, so it's terrible. So now it's like, Jugo, you're good at like this, right? Because you're Japanese. And he's like, he just sucks. Jugo knows it too. He's like, God, I can't do this. And so everyone's like, we're gonna lose. And that's when Sitaro's saying, like, Sitaro's like, don't worry, for this event, it doesn't matter if you're an inmate or a guard, as long as you can get a high score. And everyone's like, what? And here comes Yamato, as well as Hajime, beautiful calligraphy right here. And everyone is just like, what? Hajime can do it? That's when they look at Jugo like, are you really Japanese? Oh man, I really do love this anime and manga as well, because they all just basically roast each other in the most like funniest way possible. I think the reason why I love this series is because I can relate this series to me and my friends a lot, because we are just like these four idiots, and it's beautiful. So we have chapter 16, Turbulence, the New Year's Tournament Part 2. And then of course we have our little broadcaster. I always keep forgetting their names. There's so many K's in here. We get our little broadcaster dude, like, moving on to the second event, which is the Mochi Pounding Dorama Drop. Which basically, I'm trying to see where I can find this. So let's see here. This event will require power and physical strength. It's quite simple. The participants will be pounding on mochi using this dorama style mortar. However, you'll need to drop your opponent's doramar, so it's more like a blind destruction. However, this is a dorama drop game too. One member will be pounding on the mochi while the other attacks and defends their dorama. This mortar will automatically turn the mochi for you, so you don't have to worry, yo. Even if you're able to make the mochi, you'll be disqualified if your mortar is destroyed or all of your pieces fall. Do your best and make the best tasting mochi. So of course everyone, obviously the two participants in this one is really Rock and Yamato, because they're like the strongest in building 13 cell 13. And that's when they get introduced to these two other new characters, which I'm going to have a terrible time of naming. I'm probably just going to make a list of all of the characters' names on here. Like, how can I like this anime and read the manga so many times? I still keep forgetting their names. I think it's because it's just like you get introduced to the characters all at once. So, of course, you got Building 5 Guard, Inori Hakai, and building 5 Cell 8 Inmate Number 2, aka Lang. And I'm not really going to go into much of this stuff, but it's basically just kind of... Actually, I'm going to go into a little bit of this chapter. It's pretty much where Lang and Rock are basically pretty much fighting together, only to learn that Lang and Rock knew each other before, and Lang is kind of looking for revenge the entire time. So that was a big fat problem. You also have Inori trying to... Did I say his name wrong? I'm pretty sure I said his name wrong. Hopefully I didn't. No, I didn't. So you kind of have Inori kind of like also like trying to fight off Yamato to like win as well. But of course the two of them are basically fighting. So here's a little bit of a like past, well, a little background on Lang and Rock's relationship. When they sent me here, we were in the same cell. I challenged you to a duel and lost. When they moved you to a different cell, I continued my training. I will win this tournament and create a training ground so I can reach new heights, so I won't ever lose to you again. What are you aiming for this tournament? And you finally learned what Rock wants. A stone of it. Which kind of just like confuses Lang, like, wait, you want a stove oven? And he's like, yeah, I'm gonna have one installed in the kitchen. I have one. And Lang's like, why do you want that? And he says, because Shiro said we don't have one. This is where Rock just starts talking about food. Like, he actually talks about why. He's like, he was so distressed. Do you have any idea how delicious pizza, meat, and bread can be when they're baked in a stone oven? I'm just getting hungry just thinking about it. Our food will taste even better if we have a stone oven. And Hajime's like, he's fighting for the kitchen and not for himself? Jugo's like, Well, the old man chef and Shiro did say they wanted it. And Uno was just like, a stone baked pizza is delicious. I want one now. Lang is not really happy about this answer. He's like, you're certainly more inferior than I remember. Even your mind has weakened. This kind of like pisses off Lang, and the two of them just start going completely at it. Obviously, Brock is starting to really get irritated, and he's starting to get really upset because he likes the food here, and he is going to do his very best to prove that he is going to win his prize. So in the end, they win. And so it just has like Rock throw like flings Liang into like the other team's like monitor basically and destroys it, and Yamato just like sucker punches Inori. And apparently they won, and everyone's like, you guys are terrifying. Oh my gosh, we have another little character note. We have the Namba prison warden Momoko Hayakushiki, the powerful, fierce goddess. Her favorite color is pink. Trademark, piercing eyes and intimidating aura. And of course, her eyes are red. We also have Namba's broadcaster, another character note, Mitsuru Hitoke. Namba's noise problem. His favorite color is a city in black. His trademark is simply too loud. His eyes is question mark, like no one, he wears shades, people, so no one really knows what his eyes look like. And now we're down to the last chapter for today. We'll continue more on it later, but we're getting into tournament part 3, where this time it's Sitaru and Uno, and this is Turbulence New Year's Tournament part 3. And so, like, you have a good memory. Basically, this one is a card game. It's Wabi Sabi, baby. This event requires mental strength and concentration. 3 members are allowed to participate. 1 guard and up to 2 inmates can enter. Guards will compete against guards and inmates against inmates. If it's a draw, both parties are disqualified. It's all or nothing. Find the poem I will be reading and snatch it up before your opponents. Yeah, punks. Why up to 3 participants? They'll be taking turns. This is where Hajime just kind of like talks. In this event, a large amount of mental power is consumed. So much that participants will collapse one after another because the body can't keep up. So the rules are for 3 men tag teams as the countermeasure. We train our mental toughness every day. Sincerely, all the prison guards. This event is extreme. Seriously. I just love our characters' random thoughts. Like, y'all are taking this way too seriously. So of course, Uno's like, hey, I'll go. Like, you know, I'm pretty good at like card games and everything else. And there's no way any of like the other 3 can play. And every like Rock and Jugo are like triggered, and Nico's like, huh? I mean, the cute, adorable little child he is. And here we go. So then we get introduced to 2 more characters. Building 3, Cell 6, Inmate number 82, aka Honey. And Building 3, Cell 6, Inmate number 3, aka Tross. And pretty much they just start really like flexing on, you know, Uno. Like how pretty they are. And basically this cell is just nothing. It's just based on beauty. Like of how quote unquote pretty they look. And our little pheasant is Kiji is basically like just telling like how Sitaru, like, look how beautiful and pretty you are, like you attract beauty. And Uno's like, this whole group is getting on my nerves. He's pissed because he hates handsome men. Ah, the irony of this all. So pretty much it kind of has Kiji's like, oh, I'm definitely gonna win this, but Sitaru is just like, sorry, I'm gonna keep winning no matter what happens because I have good memory. So he keeps just slapping the cards and snatching them up, and Kiji is just looking at Sitaru like, how was this kid this fast and handsome at the same time? It's triggering. And now we kind of get Uno and Tross and Honey. And basically, Tross and Honey are really just proving, like, you know, like, they're basically, like, just basically trying to really just tell Uno, like, hey, you're terrible at this. You can't win this between us. Like, we're practically amazing. Do you know what I mean? And Kiji's like, I told him about number 11, you know. Tross will crush him before he can cheat. Our chance at victory may be gone, but at least we can drag you down with us. And this is where Jugo comes in. He's like, you don't know anything, do you? And Kiji's like, excuse me? You said something? This is where Jugo's like, don't think for a second that cheating is the only thing Uno can do. Beating him won't be that simple. So this is where the best thing happens, where Tross is like completely shooketh. He's just looking like, no way. And Uno is saying, you think cheating is the only way I have is, bleh, I'm sorry guys. You think cheating is the only way I have of winning when I gamble? How naive. Playing with you isn't even a challenge. Cheating? I didn't even need to. Of course, this also like gets Honey really upset. He's like, move Tross, I'll do it. And then he's like, I think my match with you is over. You already showed me lots of things. This is where, like, Honey and Tross are like, how are you able to get these cards? You couldn't do it a moment ago. And Uno explains, like, you really want to know? You have 3 tells. 1, you follow the Karo you're about to grab with your eyes. 2, your center of gravity always leans to the right. So you were especially fast when grabbing the cars on the right. Third is your middle finger. You have a habit of pointing your middle finger instead of your index finger. You extend your middle fingers to the most when reaching for a card. The card, which was just read, is located on the right side where you were looking, and far back because of the way you leaned and where your middle finger was pointing. You could tell all that from such swift actions. How does it feel to be naked before me, huh? Of course, this like really triggers Honey, and he's like, don't mess with me, you bastard. You must have rigged something, you cheated. And this is where Uno's just back to being calm and collected, like, you really should fix that middle finger habit of yours, you know? You don't get any girls until you do, even with that handsome face. You're insane. You, to read all that? I can tell you about yours, too. Of course, this triggers, like, Tross, like, I do not have any tails. And of course, Uno's like, after one brief night, take it if you think you can. And then Uno's like, I already got you. You have two tails. One is your mouth movement. You open your mouth slightly when you move to the right and close it tightly when you move to the left. The second is the way you blink. You blink once when reaching for cards nearby, but twice if the card is far away. Even without hearing anything, it's easy to figure out which card is right as long as I can see you. Remember this, amateur. It's not that easy to win the game. You see, I have this thing I desperately want. I like the inmates here. They happily gamble with me. They always take it seriously. So basically Uno's entire reasoning for really wanting to win this tournament is to have a game room. And that's why he's going to win. And basically he did. And now we get like two more character notes again. We have our Building 4 Supervising Officer, Kaneshiro Yozakura, the most serious. His favorite color is white. His trademark lives for the warden. His eyes are the color of cherry blossoms. And then so that was our little doggy boy. And now we get our little monkey boy. Building 5 Supervising Officer, Senmon Goku. The most athletic, his favorite color is emerald green, trademark overall a monkey, his eyes are an apple green. And that's chapter 17 of this entire series. I hope you guys enjoyed part 2 of the Snobaka series. I'm probably going to be posting this later on in the night, but I really do hope that a lot of you guys pretty much enjoy this series. Next time in part 3, we will be going on 18, so that'll be... So we'll probably be from chapter 18, let's see, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I just want to do my calculations are correct. So next time we will come back for a part 3, we'll do from chapter 18 to chapter 25, and we would be nearly done with the 20s, really. I'm really excited to really start talking about the third part, because that's when we get like Nico, and then in the fourth part we get Jugo, which was really gonna go down. But I hope you guys enjoyed this. I enjoy talking about this with you, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful and blessed day. Bye guys.